God wrote a book. We have our two papers that we printed for last two Sundays back on the easel back there. If you did not get your copies of our papers for the last two Sundays, the first Sunday we were just saying from Luke chapter 1 verses 1 to 4. Turn there with me. I got a lot of passages this morning. We're going to use our Bibles today. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. You have God's word in your hand. This is the word of God. And we have it from the Old Testament. Jesus had the same Old Testament that we have. And the early church has the same New Testament that we have. And the book we have is God's word, not somebody else wrote it. And it's pretty neat to know with all the manuscripts we have, we can for sure know that it is written, and then it's been portrayed all along through Scripture. Luke chapter 1, verses 1, it says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order to a declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed among us," catch these words, "even as they," the apostles, "delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good unto me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know the certainty of those things which thou hast been instructed." The book. And here Luke writes his story of Jesus, and it is the word of God, and it's been passed down through the centuries. And the chart here, put the chart up. It's pretty neat to see all through the centuries. This in a bulletin a couple weeks ago. Here we had in 1382, John Wycliffe translated the first Bible into Middle English, and he was burned for it and banned for it. And here the Gutenberg Press was in 1450, and it was invented to print the Bible, printed the Latin one, printed one in Germany, and then Tyndale published his Greek New Testament, and in 1525, and then all of them here printed the Bible all the way to the King James, and we have our Bible today. Isn't it neat to know that you have the same Bible the early church did, the same Bible Jesus did? It's wonderful. Secondly, we have they are the very words of God that are spoken here, and it is wonderful to realize that this is not something made up. It claims all through the scriptures that it's the word of God. Turn with me to Jeremiah 30 verses 1 to 5. Jeremiah 30 verses 1 to 5. The scriptures claim themselves to be the word of God. The miraculous unity of the word of God. Over 1500 years, it's the word of God. And it's wonderful. 40 authors. How could it be that it's one subject? And then archaeology has proved it over and over that it's what it says in the Bible really happened. And places and events really took place. The people, the leaders there. And then the statements of science. The Bible says that the earth is round. Isn't that neat? And so many years of history did not even know that. And all the water cycle and all the prophecies of the Bible. It's amazing. The prophecies prophesied 1,500 years, 1,000 years, and they come to pass. He was to be born in what city? Bethlehem. 1,000 years before, he was born in Bethlehem in the city. He was to be crucified. He was to have nails put in his hands and his feet. Is that right? It said that 1,000 years before it happened. And crucifixion that way only happened a small time in history. It's amazing, all the prophecies. It's a God book. Jeremiah 30, verse 5. I hope you're there. Jeremiah 30, verse 5, it says, "The word that came to Jeremiah," what? "From the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book, and these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and Judah. Thus saith the Lord." Is that right? The book of God. And that is so important that we realize that strongly in our lives and just push it and say, "God, thank you that we have the Bible and it's your word, and we can trust it, and it is wonderful." Don't get over that. There were days when no Bibles were written. Is that right? The Bible that you personally have, There was a day when nobody had a personal Bible. They chained them to the pulpit. And that's the only Bible they had was in a church. And then the printing press. Y'all just don't comprehend how that changed the world. And it did. And you should rejoice and note the sacrifice, the people that died to give you the Bible. Don't take it lightly. One thing I want to state is, we do not worship the book, the very book. We worship the God of the book. We worship the truth of the book. And it's very important that we understand that very importantly. We do not just hold the book and hold it. No, you have to read it. You got to internalize. You got to obey it. It's the book of God. And it's just not something we dust off and good luck charm, put it in our car for a good luck. No, it's the book of God. It's the word of God. We have it all the way from the first century all the way till back to the fourth century, and we realize it is the very words of God. This morning I want to venture into a new subject, and it's called The Word of God Has the Power to Change Your Life. It has the power to change your life. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, everybody turn there. This is one of the theme verses of our text this morning. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Everybody's got to turn there. It is a great verse to realize what's going on. It's not only the Word of God, it's not only we have it in English, and it's the Word of God. It changes lives. It has the power to save people. It has the power to change their lives. It changed your life. I want you to think about that. We're going to talk about that. I would like some testimonies here this morning of how you read the Bible and God changed your life. I know Lynn Grove sitting here read the Bible and God changed his life. And because it is the Word of God, we do not worship the Bible. We worship the God of the Bible and the truth of the Bible that it gives us. But it changes our life. It's not only a good book, it's a God book. It's not only a God book, it changed me. And it changed the people. It changed my whole family. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick, it means it's alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit. It goes inside of us, and the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Does it go inside of you? Yes. It's the book of books. It changes our lives, and we must realize that that is so important that we grasp and realize it changes people's lives. I want you to keep thinking about that. I want you to give your testimony a minute. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Everybody turn there. 2 Peter 3, 18. These are great verses also that this is a verse that it makes it known that this book changes us every day, and it's powerful. 2 Peter 3:18, it says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be glory both now and forever." Now and forever. But grow. It not only changes you at salvation, it changes you every day, and it keeps changing me. I get peace and joy out of the Bible, out of the truths of the Scriptures. It is wonderful there to realize. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 19. Everybody turn there. We're going to read that. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11. Psalm 19. This is a passage sequel to Psalm 119, and it's the passage that tells the Word of God. Six times it describes the Word of God. Six times it describes what the Word of God does. And then six times it describes the result of the Bible. It's a great text here, a small text. It's made of a song. Psalm 19, verse 7 to 11 is a song. Do you want me to sing it to you? Yes. No. Okay. But it's a great one. Brother Gass, come and read for us Psalm 19, 7 to 11.
I'm not going to sing it either, so you're saved. Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and keeping of them there is great reward.
Those are great texts there. And it is stated, there is a chart here. Look at the chart here of all of this. It says here, it just starts out, it's called the law of the Lord, the testimonies of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, and it's called the fear of the Lord. You ever heard the Bible called the fear of the Lord? It's just the almighty power of the Lord. The judgments of the Lord go together there. And then it gives six attributes. It's perfect, it's sure, it's right, it's pure, it's clean, it's true. Isn't that great? That's the Word of God. And then the results here. It restores your soul. The King James says it converts the soul. It changes the soul. It gives you wisdom. It brings you joy. I've said this before. Joy is the number one result of being a Christian this side of heaven. Joy. Now, there's not much to rejoice about in life. You got to go look for it. You got to go find it. But in the Word of God, the truth says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I won't give you more than you can bear. I will be with you. Give me your burdens and I will comfort you. And we got to realize, if I would just do that, I would have joy. And so there's joy. And then it says it enlightens the eyes. It opens our eyes to truth. We understand. It endures. It doesn't just quit yesterday. It's for today. It wasn't just for yesterday. It wasn't for the last generation. And it knows right from wrong. Just the Word of God. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11 is just wonderful. It converts the soul. It makes wise the simple. It rejoices the heart. It enlightens the eyes. It endures forever. It satisfies us. It's desirable. It's sweet as honey. How many like honey in the honeycomb? How many don't like the honeycomb? Come on. That's good. The word they're using is the word it's dripping. It's alive. It's wonderful. It satisfies. It is something that is sweeter. And verse 11, everybody look at verse 11. By this you're warned. If you don't obey it, you're going to suffer. You're not only going to suffer eternally, you're going to suffer now and forever. And then now is you lose joy and peace. Just warning, don't go this way. Is that right? Go this way. Oh, I wish you'd have gone that way. It's a warning. And in doing of them, there is great what? It's a great blessing, great honor, great joy, great peace, great contentment. That's what the Word of God does in our lives. That's the book. Is that right? The book that God wrote works, changes our lives, moves us into great direction, and it's wonderful to catch that and to realize it changes me. Let's go to the next slide. The next slide is in your bulletin. If you can't read this, it's in your bulletin. It just says, this is from Josh McDowell. I hope you know who that is. Josh McDowell wrote a lot of books. And it just talks about his dad. His dad was the town drunk in his town growing up. And he didn't get saved till 14 months before he died. He died from alcoholism, okay? But he got saved 14 months before he died. And he won in those 14 months over 100 people to Christ in his little town because he changed from being the town drunk to the town preacher. Huh? And all of them knew him. That man changed. Is that right? Something happened. I hope you realize that maybe you don't have that drastic of a story, but it's wonderful to realize that he changes us. And the first place he changes us is that we get salvation. We have saving power, salvation power. Everybody turn to Acts 26. Acts 26, Paul got saved. Paul, he was Saul, doing all kinds of evil, doing all kinds of throwing people in the jail and putting people in the prison for their faith in Jesus. He was against Jesus. And on the road to Damascus, the Lord opened his eyes, changed his life, changed his direction, and Paul became the person who was preaching the gospel all over the world. Acts 16, verse 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, here's the gospel, to open their eyes, change their look, to turn them from darkness to light, change from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, change, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, wow, an inheritance among them that are sanctified, set apart, declared holy by faith that is in me, Jesus. And that's the saving power that we have. I hope you remember the day you got saved. How many of you got saved later in life? Raise your hand. Saved later in life. Raise your hand. That's good. Keep it up. You have a testimony, is that right? You have a testimony of what you were and then what you became. It was evident. It was evident. If you were saved as a young person and growing up in your Christian home or in the church and you just progressed, there isn't a great black and white. There isn't a dark and a light. Is that right? You change too. I didn't have a dramatic change. I got saved when I was a sinner about 8 years old, okay? And I've done most of my sins after I'm saved. Think about that. Okay. But I can see God changing my life. I can see my life in the teens, my life in the 20s, my life in the 30s, my life in the 40s, my life in the 50s, my life in the... It's my birthday next week. I'll be 66. Okay, has God changed my life? Has He changed me in the last 6 months? Yes. Is He working on changing me today? Yes. See, that's the joy of it there. He eternally saved us, and He saved us forever. And it's wonderful that He is there saving our souls. Any of you like to tell just a little bit about your salvation? Is that clock right? Huh? That's wonderful. Anybody like to tell how the Lord changed you? Anybody? Anybody? Lynn, tell how the Lord changed you. Stand up if you can. Holler and scream. Do we have a microphone? So you can sit down.
Went to church my whole life from the time I was a baby, every Sunday. It was a liberal church. They didn't teach us the truth about the Bible. Never once told us to read our Bible, memorize the Bible, didn't have to carry a Bible to church. They'd tell you what it said. So I grew up believing in God, but didn't know how to be saved. But I also didn't know I needed to be saved. But they said, everybody's going to heaven because Jesus died on the cross. We're all going to heaven. Don't worry about it. So, but in my mid-20s, I got thinking to myself, the Holy Spirit's working in my heart. Every time I thought about death, I thought, if I die, I'm going to hell. And I knew it, and it scared me to death. But I didn't know how to be saved. So the Lord worked it out that I got teaching a Sunday school class of teenagers. I wasn't saved, but I thought, well, I'm not going to teach the pablum they give. I said, well, I'm going to make my own lessons. So I started studying the Gospel of John to teach them. And studying the Gospel of John, every Sunday when I was teaching those kids out of John, I'm thinking to myself, Lynn, you're not living what you're teaching. You're a hypocrite. And after so many months that I couldn't stand me anymore, but also studying John, I learned how to be saved, that Jesus died for my sins, I had to confess my sins, accept Him as my Savior. I learned how to be saved. So one Thursday night in August 67, I was 27 years old, I said, knelt on my knees at home. I was home alone, and I asked God to forgive me for my sins, come into my heart and save me. And when I stood up, it was like somebody turned the lights on. I knew what Amen. Was wrong with my church. They didn't believe the Bible, and I knew they cheated me for 27 years and never told me the truth. They cheated me, and it made me mad. And so I started reading my Bible 2 hours a day, memorizing three verses of Scripture every week, trying to make up for lost time. And then eventually the Lord led me to First Baptist. I taught 11th graders there for 13 years. Then I had a downtime in my life. I came here. I didn't teach anymore for 6 years. I felt like a complete failure. But pastor came to my shop and asked me to take a Sunday school class. And after he worked on me for a full year, and I finally gave up and said, okay, I'll take it. Been teaching this class over here now for 30 years next January.
Amen.
Greatest time of my life. The Lord is allowing me to serve him again. I know Peter felt like a failure, and he gave up, went back to fishing. God gave him a second chance. I was a failure. I gave up. God gave me a second chance. And using his word, I had a machine shop for my whole life. I was a machinist. And in 04, it was going downhill. I knew I was going to lose it. I didn't know what to do. So I found some verses in the back that talks about whenever all your means of making a living has gone away, you're still going to rejoice in the Lord. It's the last part of Habakkuk. And I claimed that. A few days later, a businessman from Chicago called me and asked me if I'd sell him my business and all my property. I said, you'd be glad to. So I sold it to him. He hired me to work for him, so I was off under the financial load, did not pay property tax anymore, but I had a job doing what I knew how to do.
Amen.
The Lord worked that out. Then 20 months later, he fired me because I was too slow. So that... He was nice. He called me on a Monday morning. He said, Lynn, he was from Chicago. He called me, Lynn, let's make next Friday your last day. That's the nicest way to be fired. So, okay. But that Thursday, I was really down. I wanted to read I wanted to read Philippians 4:8 when I got home that night. But think on these things. But I got home, opened my Bible to Philippians 4. My eyes fell on verse 4, which says, rejoice the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I said, right off, Lord, I don't feel like it.
That's right.
But I read it, rejoice, Lord always, again I say rejoice. So I read down through verses 4 to 8, talked to the Lord about it, read them, prayed about it, took about 15, 20 minutes. When I got done, I had peace. So I went to work, my last day I was ever going to work there. I've been doing that for 46 years and 4 months. That's the last time I was ever going to do it. Went to work Friday morning. I was whistling all morning, just whistling a happy tune. My wife called me from her work, said, she's concerned for me. She said, how are you doing? I said, I'm fine, I'm whistling. So, but I didn't know what, I needed to keep working, but I can't do anything else. That's all I knew how to do. So what am I going to do? I get home that day, and my answer machine's blinking, and it's a fellow businessman I know about his business about a mile from mine. He called me and said, Lynn, would you come work in my office doing estimating for him? You can start Monday. This was Friday. And he didn't know I got fired. He's a Christian. Wow.
Amen.
Because I trusted the Word of God, and God just works. I went to work for him, and worked for him for the next 6 years. It was just wonderful doing something I knew how to do. Didn't think about doing it for a living, but I knew how to estimate it. I always did my own. But trusting God's Word, until I got my business sold, trusting His Word for something new, God provided that. He just doesn't fail. And what Pastor just had us read Psalms 19 this morning, the very first Bible verses ever learned were Psalms 19, 7 to 11. It's the first thing I ever learned. And just trust God's word. He won't fail you.
Amen.
He just, I don't know how he does it, but he does it. Just praise the Lord. His word is, we got to stand on his word. You never fail.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. 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 That's how you do it. I trust you have the same story there, and to realize that God will see you through. Amen? He has the power to save. I trust you've experienced it. If you've not experienced that, you can experience that today. He has the power to save your life, to change you from darkness to light, from hell to heaven, from Satan to Jesus, and to realize that I repent of my sins, I receive Jesus as my Savior, and I'm going to start gobbling up the Bible. And we get that from Him, and He is the one who can do that and will do that in our lives. It is wonderful. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. Positionally, there is two statements here. When you get saved, positionally, you are already saved, and God has you set up for salvation. You can't lose your salvation. You're saved for positionally. You're saved. A great verse here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read here verse 15. Let's all look at it. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature, new creation. Old things are what? Passed away, and all behold, all things are become new. That is, when you get saved, God looks at you as perfect and on your way to heaven. Positionally, you're in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I am perfect in Christ positionally. When God looks at me, He looks through Jesus, and it makes me forgiven and ready to go to heaven. I hope you understand that positionally, He sets us up so that we can be right there walking with God. Put the next picture up. You know, we're going to be talking about butterflies here, and the transformation that happens when God looks at us the second we get saved. He sees a full butterfly. Is that right? Perfect. Ready to go to heaven. Wow. Then secondly, I want you to see that we have permanent salvation. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Everybody look at it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. This is when we get to heaven. We're positionally right now ready to go to heaven because of Jesus. Has nothing to do with how good we are or bad we are or how many times we do certain things. No. Positionally, when you get saved, you're ready to go because of the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. Amen? That's permanently, when we get to heaven, it's going to be wonderful. We're going to receive it. We're going to receive full eternal salvation. And it is great. This is a great verse. Everybody look at it. This is a great verse. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. It says, Beloved, now, right now, we are the sons of God. Now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We're not like we're going to be when we're in heaven. But we know, I like that, positionally, that we're going to permanently be that. That when He shall appear, that we shall be what? That we shall be what? Like Him. And we shall see Him as He is. Now, I don't have a clue what that means, okay? But when I get to heaven, I'm going to be like Him, and I'm going to see Him. I'm going to be with Him forever. That's heaven. And that's why we have eternal salvation now, positionally, and permanently, forever, when He comes to get us and take us to heaven. It's wonderful to have those things and to realize that's great. Eternal salvation, the power to change our lives. The last point here is He has the power to daily change our lives. The life-changing power. We see the caterpillars. The caterpillars, they attach themselves to a stick, a limb, and then the transformation starts happening. Is that right? It is wonderful to realize that. And you realize, everybody turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It's a great verse. We're changed gradually, daily, life-changing power. We were saved, and now we start living. Aren't you glad? He just didn't save you and said, I'm going to heaven, and then leave you. Now it happens every day. It can happen multiple times a day. It just happens when you're doing things, and you're talking to somebody, and you get to talk about Jesus to them, and they respond to you, and you realize God's here. Or you're walking in a place, or you're reading in the Bible, or you're praying, and God answers your prayer. He speaks to you in the Bible. He gives you victory. A temptation rises and you don't yield. You should have a party. Thank you, Jesus. That's the life-changing power. It's just not, He saves me and He's gone. No, He lives in my life and He's active. I'm being changed from that little willy worm to a butterfly. And it takes some time to do it. I love these pictures that show you the change, how it happens, and how the transformation happens from a caterpillar to a butterfly in the change of our lives. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let me read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding in a glass, a mirror, the glory of God, are changed. And the word there is being changed. It's being progressive, being changed into the same image. And here's it more clearly stated. From glory to glory, from one point of glory of the transformation from the caterpillar to the butterfly, from one glory, from one stage to the next stage, and He's still working on us. Is He still working on you? You know, I'm not what I used to be, and I'm not what I want to be, but thank God I'm not, He's not done with me, and He's going to keep continuing. And it is tremendous to catch that He's still working on me. And it's wonderful there to catch that and to realize that. God changed Paul, and then put up the next slide there. God changed Paul in Acts there. In Luke 19, He changed the demoniac, and the demoniac was a man running in the tombs, possessed by a devil, and then he was sitting, is that right? Clothed and in his right mind, and everybody goes, wow, that's change. And then he said, Lord, can I come with you? And he said, no, go home and tell all your family and friends about Jesus. And he went and told the whole city. That's change, change. Zacchaeus is in Luke 8. Zacchaeus, he says, if I stole anything from any... He was a tax collector. Can I say anything more? Okay. He was a tax collector, and they were known for thievery, okay? He says, Lord, if you change my life, if I stole anybody, I will double it. I will double it. And he says, if I give anything, if I stole anything other than that, I will pay him fourfold. Change came to his house, and Zacchaeus changed, and everybody saw it, and they realized, wow, you've changed. And it happens there, and it's so neat. And you look at the butterfly here. We've seen the caterpillar come all the way to the cocoon, and the cocoon go all the way to the butterfly, and you realize that's what's God doing in our lives. He does it in the area of our sins, in the area of our temptations, in the area of our laziness. He's changing our lives. And He's the one doing it. And we get to enter into that progressive getting, you know, I'm saying less bad words, or I'm getting angry less, or I'm thinking about the Bible more, or I'm reading in the Bible more. I'm talking more about people more. And it's a progressive thing in our lives that He changes our lives on a progressive mode. And it is wonderful. He changed my family's life. My mom and dad got saved at 27, and dad turned around and started studying the Bible terribly, and he became a preacher at 35, and I grew up in a Christian home, and when I was born into an unsaved home. Does that make sense? And then by the time I understood everything, I was in a preacher's home. And my parents, the family there, thought they were crazy. Evil, evil family. And God changed them. And it's neat to hear the stories. You have a story. Is that right? You have a story. Maybe your story is your salvation story because it was later in life. Rejoice in that. If you don't have a salvation story and you got saved way young and you can't quite figure out where you got saved, but you know you're saved. Is that important? you have a story of Him transforming your life, and it's in different areas. It used to be your temper, but you've got victory over that. Now it's an area of pride. Is that right? Then you get victory over that. Sometimes in your early life, it's over some habits that you have, and you got to get victory over those. He's transforming you, and if you just watch it happen, that you're wanting to sin less, you're wanting to do things for God more, and it's happening. It's happening from a caterpillar to a cocoon to a butterfly in different areas of our lives. That's the power that changes our lives from the Bible, from the God of the Bible. And it's wonderful to experience that. Let's put up the last slide and let's say our last verse. Let's all read our last verse here in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. It says, so all, let's read it together. So all of us who have had that veil removed when we were trusted Christ can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are daily being changed into His glorious image. Amen. Daily. Don't get over it. Don't think that you've arrived. You haven't. And don't think that you're too bad to keep going. God gives us second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances. You just draw near to Him and He'll what? Draw near to you. If you resist the devil, he will what? Flee. And if I read the Bible, he'll speak to me. If I pray to him, he'll talk to me. If I try to talk to somebody and love on somebody, he'll speak through me. And if I resist the devil, he'll win victories for me. Don't count your failures. Count your victories. Grow. Grow. Increase. There's a song we're going to sing here at the end, and it's called Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. Hope you can read it up here. I'm not going to sing it for you. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wanderings and going astray, and my sins, which were many, are all washed away. I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure, and no dark clouds of doubt now my path obscure. There's a light in the valley of death now for me, and the gates of the city beyond I can see. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know, and I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Joy, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll since Jesus came into my heart. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Where are you today? Number one, Christian, I hope this has just fired you up to realize with God's power in my life, I can keep changing. I can get closer to Him and Him closer to me, farther away from the world, and it's wonderful. Him speaking to me out of the Bible in prayer, and Him using me, Him giving me victory. His power is wanting to keep changing my life. It's an ongoing process, and it's never going to end. That's where we get joy and victory and just peace, and it's wonderful. Christian, I trust you there. How many Christians this morning say, preacher, I needed this message to keep rejoicing in the Lord and seeing my victories and realizing He's still working on me? Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. Amen. Amen. Christian, let Him work. He wants to empower you for victory and joy and usefulness. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Boy, I'd like to be, would have that kind of power in my life and the Bible coming alive and prayers being answered and God moving in my life and keeping me from some sins and forgiving me and helping me, to give me some comfort and joy and peace. I don't have it. Preacher, pray for me. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Every head bowed, every eye closed, can I pray for you? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Can I pray for you? Just slip your hand. I pray for you. I pray for you. Lord Jesus, help every Christian here to know they have a story. They have a story to tell about how they got saved. Help us all to go home over the lunch and say, tell me how you got saved. And go around and tell how they got saved. And then help us to say, well, what has God done in your life lately? Where have you seen God show up lately in your life, helping you, directing you, giving you peace, giving you joy, giving you victory? Lord, help us realize that is the key of life, is to experience the life-changing power of the Word of God, because they are the words of the living God. Lord, change our heart, oh God, change our heart every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.